The track Choke Cherry by Pony, a group that we spun a couple months back. Hey, you're hanging out with Gunnar here on Steel City Music. You can hear us every Friday from 1 p.m. till 7 p.m. at The Hawk, 101.5 FM at Mohawk College. But you can hear this show on Wednesdays on 93.3 CFMU from 1 p.m. till 3 p.m. just before the great King of Fun, Lou Molinaro, who does Lose Control. A former host over at the other station. I'm in a good mood because I'm doing a show that I really enjoy. It's been hard doing Steel City Music over the last year and a half, but not as hard as other people's in their other jobs and their other lives. But because the show is always, I've always tried to have, like, you know, play Hamilton music, interview bands, promote the clubs, promote art, promote culture. And it's really hard to do that during a pandemic. I mean, there's only so much you can talk about it as far as promotion wise, that sort of thing. So I'm starting to see some signs that everything is starting to open up in different mediums just a little bit more. We're starting to stream a lot more shows online. Musicians are starting to do that. People are starting to buy art through online exhibits, that sort of thing. I like all of these things. It just makes me feel good, right? And we're rolling into spring now, and the vaccines are rolling out, and this little bit of heaviness has been kind of lifted off of me. I don't know if you get that vibe. I get that vibe, definitely. And so I'm just in a particularly good mood today while I'm recording this, because I can just see things getting a lot better, right? Because, you know, we always go through these silly things where everything's just, you know, doom and gloom. And it has been for a year and a half, but I like seeing some light at the end of the tunnel. I like just seeing all these great things happen for people, starting to open up just a little bit more in our society right now. I get emails from people asking if they want to come on, if I need a co-host or anything like that. And I've had co-hosts in the past for various radio shows and everything, but I always find it's hard to coordinate those things. So I always encourage people to do an online blog, do their own thing, find your voice. And there's two ways. There's tons of ways of doing that. You can do your own online radio station, your own online show, your own podcast. There's all these things. But there's also both the radio stations as well. You have two great local radio stations, campus stations here that have been here for some time. And you can have your voice on the air. And it's pretty easy. Just go to both radio stations' website, go to CFMU 93.3 or CFMU.ca, and go to the Mohawk radio stations, the Hawks website, and there's a contact form. Do you have a show idea? Is there something that both stations are not covering? You have a voice, you have ideas, you have opinions. There are different things that people still that need to know about, right? And you have passions, and they could relate to other people who have passions. So why don't you do that? Go to both radio stations, and if you're interested in something, just write it out. Just say, hey, you know, this is a style of music I don't think is covered. I'm very interested in it, and this is what I have to offer, that sort of thing. And set up a meeting. I mean, it won't be in person because of the pandemic, but you'll be able to get a phone call or a Zoom call, that sort of thing, and they can help you out. So find your voice. and be a part of it. Because everyone is doing that to some extent, and it helps everybody when there's a different opinion and when there's different things that they didn't know about. It just generally helps everyone. So there you go. So I guess that would be my good little speech today. Well, I seem to have that speech a lot lately, but please do. So go to the websites, click on the contact form. I know it's Marie Cassidy up at The Hawk, and there is and Jamie Tennant over at CFMU, and there's usually a committee when they pitch shows and everything, but that's not going on right now. So actually, I'm not quite sure. So anyway, contact both, you know, and they can walk you through on how to do a recording at home. So there you go. And if you're stuck and you still don't know how to do something, hit me up at steelcitymusic.ca at the contact form. And say, hey, Gunner, I want to do a show. How do I go about it? That sort of thing, blah, blah, blah. And I'll walk you through it. You know, there you go. I can do that. You know, it's called passing on some positivity. So there you are. All right. Okay, so what do we have coming up? Well, did an interview with Rob Brown from the Ruddy Ruckus. He has a new single out, and we had a nice little chat. But taking us there, two tracks. Church on Sunday out of Toronto with a track called Control Freak, but started things off Bad Moves with Local Radio. Huh? There you go. There, it's right there. You're hanging out with Gunner on Steel City Music.
Passing out scraps, you can hardly believe you behaved in a task with some people. We should behave in folks. This is Still City Music. My next guest is Summer Night. I spend more time chatting about this, that, and the other thing more than just precisely doing our interview or recorded track for the show. It's Rob Brown from the Rocket Punisher Records. Hi, Rob. How you doing, buddy?
Hey, doing well, Jimmy. How you doing, brother?
Well, you know how I'm doing. I don't know why we do this, because I think the last couple of months we've done the same thing. We've talked forever about everything. Oh, yeah, we're supposed to promote something.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Hey, full disclosure, folks, I already told Rob that I did an interview with Jay Pullman, formerly of the band Groove, and he was the wrong interview. It was supposed to actually interview Rob. So I talked. Great interview when you listen to the Jay Pullman interview, folks. He's a great guy. I'm pretty sure I did it. Interviewed him while he was having dinner with his family. That was really nice of him. I felt kind of bad about that. So anyway, you'll hear it in the interview. I don't think he chews while we talk, but you know, you can hear something going on in the background. But anyway, Pally Wally, you sent me a song. What's the deal with the new tune?
Yes, so the new song is called Hold On My Love. It will be out today on May 7th. And it's going to be one of the singles that we're releasing over the summer to support the new Ready Ruckus album that will be dropping on September 10th.
Refresh our memory with this new album. How many songs and where did you record it?
So there will be 12 songs on it, original tunes. We laid down the tracks at Boxcar Studios. Have you ever been to Boxcar, Gunner?
You know what? Years and years ago, but it wasn't Boxcar then, right?
There was a different studio?
It was called Vibrangler.
Oh.
Wait a minute. Am I thinking of the same studio?
It's the one by Gage Park.
Yeah, that one. Yeah. But it wasn't called Boxcar then, so... Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah. That's like eons ago.
Yeah. It's, you know, I don't know if it's the same room as it was before, but it's a beautiful studio. I mean, they've got a beautiful live room and a really amazing control room. It really feels like you're cutting a record in somebody's basement. And, we had a great time there.
I was just chatting with my buddy Steve Deeps. He just went back into that studio to do some recording as well for his new stuff.
Oh, nice. Yeah. Nice. Yeah. I'm hearing more and more people are going there, it seems. It's really, if you didn't know about it, you wouldn't even really know that it's there, because a lot of the other studios, I find they kind of stand on their own. They're either in their own buildings or you kind of know where they are. But this one is kind of like it's in a building that's shared with other businesses and studios and things. And you kind of walk up a few flights of stairs, and then when you get there, you're like, oh, this is a jewel. This is an absolute gem of a place to go.
That kind of atmosphere, and you did the, what was it, 12 songs in this place. Was that kind of like did you find a little bit inspirational when you did the album there, like, or a little bit easier?
So basically what happened was we did the drums and the bass there, and then we did the guitars and vocals in a studio that's in the Hamilton Dream Center. And basically what we wanted to do with the bass and drums was we wanted to lay down a live off the floor type of tracking, and then we were going to layer everything on top of that. And we found that was a really good place to really relax and really talk about the songs in constructive ways. And then also it provided an atmosphere that was really comfortable for Pat Brown and Giordano Modesto, who's the bass player and or the drummer and the bass player. And basically we tracked all the bass and all the drums with time to spare over 2 days. And that was because of the environment of the room, for sure.
Doing one in one room and then switching it to another studio, some artists have the ability to go from do a song in one studio, do another song in another studio, and others, you can hear the differences in the momentum of an album. Like, it sort of loses, some albums end up losing the momentum of what an album could be, because they just do it in they're the victim of their own circumstances, like time, money, that sort of thing, or over a couple year period, that sort of thing. Is that something that you ever worry about, like for time, like and doing it in different locations, or would you ideally just like to sit in one place at one point and just do the whole thing one spot, 2 months or a month's time?
Yeah, I think in terms of your comment, it really depends on who you are as an artist and what you need out of that time. You know, I think some artists, they need to sit in the studio and they just need to spend all of their time there and bang out whatever they need to bang out. For us, there was a lot of planning behind it. So we actually did two rounds of pre-production. One was in February of last year, and then the other was, I believe, in late August. So we were really, really prepared. We knew the songs inside and out. So with this particular situation where we were going to the two, it was really a situation where the engineer who worked on the record, his name's Vince Silveri, he ran the studio in the Hamilton Dream Center. So in one way, we were using it to cut down on costs, but mm-hmm. another reason was to use all of his gear and all of the stuff that he knew really, really well. And it also afforded us more time if we needed it. And actually for us, it worked out because we were able to have those extra sessions. We were able to add in other things that we might have been pressed for time if we had spent all of our time at Boxcar.
Right.
And so yeah, I really think it depends on the record and the songs and how the songs are written and how they're produced. Because if you, in my opinion, if you have a lot of time to prepare, to think about what you're going to do, it's not so much the room that matters, but kind of what you want to get out of the sessions and what's going to work best for you ultimately.
Is Ready Reckus the type of band that could just live in, like, if only it could exist just as a band, just putting out albums and never playing live?
No. I don't think that's possible for us, because playing live has been something that's been baked into the DNA of who we are as individual musicians, that I think the idea of just going into the studio, releasing music and never having an audience interaction, that's almost like a form of torture, in my opinion. You know, you've created this cultural product that other people can connect to, and to not have the opportunity to connect with them on a personal level, at least for me, I don't think I could do it. I would rather have the opposite, where, you know, if it did come down to it, if we could only play live but never lay down any records, that would probably be my preference out of those two situations, if you ask me.
We're at this point now, because you and I are doing this pre-recorded interview. We're at this point right now where Hamilton and most in all of Ontario is under a lockdown, and it's in April. And after May, this song will come out in May. Then we got June, July, August coming up. Is there any plans of doing a live show? Like, are you planning to do a live show if permitted? Any ideas, that sort of stuff?
Well, it was actually, it's kind of funny that you mentioned that, because last year we had actually booked a tour in May, and we were so excited because it was our very first tour. We've never been on tour before, and we had a tour booked from Hamilton to Quebec City and back. And probably maybe around this time last year, or maybe just before, we had to call it. We had to say,
"Yeah,
listen,
yeah.
You know, we've booked time off work. We can't. We're not. It's the pandemic is not gonna go away at this point. So, you know, you just got to cut your losses and move on." I would love to be able to play these songs live for other people. But again, you know, I think we've been taking the guidelines pretty seriously. We're still taking you know, whatever the venues are kind of saying in terms of their safety plans and guidelines. We're taking that very seriously. So I guess fingers crossed. I'd love to for that to happen sooner than later, but it's hard to predict the future. That's for sure. Hey, everybody, this is Rob Brown from the Ruddy Ruckus. You can check out our new single, Hold On My Love, at ruddyruckus.com.
When day after day turns to week after week, and month after month turns to years, there's something that I have to get off my chest. I can't hold it back, oh, my dear. If you like to meet in the middle,
listening to Steel City Music.
Gentleman by the name of Mike Moss. I think we're going back in time now. I know him through a mutual friend by the name of Max Ray. And Max Ray has been on Steel City Music off and on over this last year and a half since we brought it back. And he was in a band called The Shout with Mike Moss. And it took me forever for that to click into my brain. Like, how did I know Mike Moss? Because I've seen him play at This Ain't Hollywood, and I interviewed the guy. That's the whole thing. I've interviewed him a couple times. So I don't know what's going on with my brain lately, but, you know, it just wasn't working. So I was chatting with Max the other day, and Max was bringing up some different stuff about music and everything, and he mentioned The Shout, and then I went, was Mike Moss in that band with you? And he's like, yeah. And then Max, in the conversation, just kept talking about something, and in my brain, I'm like going, why was I not clicking everything together like that? And we're talking like 10, 11 years ago, folks. So Mike Moss has been busy over some time. He's been playing with different people, in and out of, trying out different quartets and everything. And we'll hear about all of those fun things in the interview that's coming up. We're going to close out this last half hour of this hour with an interview that I did with him the other day. But I would also like to mention right now, earlier on I was saying, you know, things are starting to open up a little bit. But a lot of people, small business, of course, are still struggling. Sure, there's a grant system and there's like all kinds of loans that the government has opened up and everything, but a lot of places are still taking donations. So if you're into live music, and I know a lot of people are, it's going to take some time before we can get into that whole putting people in rooms again safely, that sort of thing. So there's still a lot of venues that are still kind of holding on right now, doing the best that they can. Absinthe Hamilton is still here. They're just waiting for the go-ahead, just like everyone else, to open up their patio, that sort of thing. The Casbah is still doing their thing. So some of the live music venues around town, click on their website and see if there's anything that you can do to help out. A lot of them rely on money, of course, like everybody, to pay their bills. So if you can make a donation, make a donation. If you can buy a shirt, a hoodie, or any of those things, do so, because it does help them out in the long run. And it's been a very long run for everyone. So if you could do that, that would be great, just to keep the music community going a little bit longer. Also, the same applies for independent artists. Go online, buy their music, that sort of thing. My biggest thing is that why would you want to listen to Spotify all day? And when you could just buy the album off their Bandcamp or right from the artists themselves. So go to the websites and buy from artists just to keep that vibe going. And it's the same thing when they do the online thing. If you can pay $10 to watch a stream, do it. Just do it. Because if all the money goes to them, then it helps them out in the long run. That's my little speech about all that nonsense. It's just one of those things. It's why give the money to someone else and then it, you know, they don't, all these distribution channels we have, which is great for promotion, but the smaller artists are not making any money at all, really, like very slim. So if you like, enjoy the music, throw the artist a couple bucks, that sort of thing. If they're live streaming, do the same thing, because I see it happening all the time. So that's my little speech. There you go. You listen to Steel City Music, your host Gunner here. And as I said earlier, Mike, I did an interview with Mike Moss. Very cool gentleman. He has a new single out. He's been kind of releasing some other singles off of a EP that's coming up. We had a great chat. Here's the interview right here. If you want to download it, hit up steelcitymusic.ca. I'll have it up there as well. Enjoy the interview, folks. You're listening to Steel City Music. My next guest is a gentleman who I've had up at the radio station at the Hawk at C101 years ago. Also Indie 101, I believe. I may have even interviewed him years ago at CFMU, for that matter. Mike Moss, how are you, sir?
I'm doing great, man. How are you?
I'm good. I'm trying to figure out the timelines that where you and I first met. And I think we're going back maybe 13, 14 years now.
Yeah, I would say so. Yeah, I think the first one we did was at the Mohawk campus, I think.
Yeah, that would be C101 days going into Indy 101.
Right.
Yeah, which is now called the Hawk. The reason why I bring this up is because I was trying to figure out all the different bands and acts that you were in. Luckily, I was yapping to a mutual friend. I'll say friend on your end, more of a pain in my ass on my end, Max Ray. And we were just talking about some different stuff, and I think I was teasing him about his inability to do anything over the last 22 years of his life. He said, oh yeah. And he said, well, you know, blah, 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 you know, the Shout, and, you know, and because he was making a reference to something else. I went, the Shout? I'm like, wait, don't have the Shout. Oh, and he's like, yeah, Mike Moss. I'm like, oh, okay. Oh,
right,
yeah,
right,
yeah,
right,
that's how far it goes back. So, so you were doing the Shout, I think, 12 years ago. And then I remember you doing some solo stuff over the years and releasing some stuff. But I started remembering, it started clicking back with me when it was regards to you playing shows in and around the Hamilton area. Okay. And I can clearly remember you doing some shows with Tommy Swick.
Yes.
Is that right? Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. At the Zoetic, we did a couple shows at the Zoetic together. I think we were on like a kind of a benefit show at one point as well.
Right.
Tommy and I go back to like high school. He went to the same high school as me.
Okay.
And, he was doing an open mic at, I think the Corktown, and I ended up just popping down and, doing a couple songs, and he's like, "Oh, you know, let me know anytime you wanted to play your stuff," and snowballed into us doing a couple shows at the Zoetic and that. So yeah, it's he's a really good friend of mine and a big supporter, and I always kind of bump off or send him some music and ask him to take a listen to it and what he thinks and that. So yeah. Yeah, he's a good dude and a good friend. Yeah.
Do you have a lot of people like that throughout your career that you've been able to get some advice from, some mentorship from, aside from Tommy? Like, do you have that background? Because some people don't have that support system.
Right. My cousin-in-law, I guess you could say, Adam Wilson. He was in the General Lee.
Generally, that's right.
They
played Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. They did 22 sets a day, all at the Flamingo.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, that's one. Yes.
The hardest working man on Hess Street.
That's right. Yeah. Now he's out west, and so I kind of send him a couple songs back and forth, and he actually kind of gave me all the info on how to get my stuff out on Spotify and like iTunes and that, which is the, you know, where this new single is released and everything. So it was, you know, he helped me that way. Adam Ostrosser as well.
Oh, Adam,
He was he was the guitar player for in the late night lineup for quite some time, and now he's moved and is focusing on his stuff too. So, and that's kind of one of the reasons why I went and focused kind of on my, just solo stuff right now is, you know, I had a chance and, you know, everybody's kind of locked down and I wanted something to, you know, something good to come out of 2020 and 2021. So, I just kind of got my, head together and started writing this single that's out now, and probably I don't know if it'll be an EP or a record. I don't know what the difference song wise would be between a EP and a record. You know, I think an EP is like four or five songs.
Yeah, I think the cutoff point, I think the legal cutoff point in everyone's mind is five songs.
Oh, five times.
Because if you do six, it's just like, well, why are you being a pussy? Why don't you just do an LP?
Right.
You know,
right.
Like, what are you doing?
Right.
You know, so
right.
I think five is like the comfortable. That's just the way I look at things. I'm probably wrong on that. And you'll probably quote me on that, but don't. But yeah.
Well, that's why I'm asking you, because I think I've read something along the lines of like five. I think you're right. And
yeah.
Then anything more is like a LP or whatever. But
right.
Yeah. I don't know. Yeah.
So you did this project that, and it's called I Had a Dream. It was all a dream over 2020 and 2021. This was just as a result of not being able to play with different bands or to be in a band? Or was it because of the actual lockdown, though?
It's funny because walking back and forth to work, I saw that. It's like painted on a rock or something on the James Street stairs when you're going up the mountain. And I saw that. I'm like, oh, that's a pretty, I like that. I don't know who did it. I don't know where it came, like when it was up there, but I saw it and I was like, oh, I like that. I like that could be a good album title. So I kind of went down that road, and that's probably, I'm 95% sure that's what the name of the new record's going to be. But yeah, it was basically, I mean, I guess it has a double, like, I like the way that it, the meaning behind it, that, you know, you, but also more so with what's going on now. I mean, you know, it kind of has that idea that this was all, you know, I feel like this is all a dream, stuff like that. And
sure.
And you know, I like the idea behind it. So
I think a lot of us have thought this last year is, have made comments that this is just some sort of dream that we're going through, or hoping that's what it is, the whole COVID lockdown thing.
Yeah. Or like some weird movie that, you know, like some weird science fiction movie or something
that you can't turn off and walk out on.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Now, it's not really a weird question, but I was thinking, when you started doing the music thing, mm-hmm. you went through experiences as being in a band, that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. But you also mentioned that, you know, you were sending your stuff to Tommy as a solo artist.
Right.
Do you feel more comfortable as a solo artist now in 2021 more than you did 10 years ago? You have the band to fall back on.
Yeah. Well, like the band, the late night lineup, the original idea is that I needed a group to kind of play with, and mm-hmm. the members could be interchangeable. Right now, the last kind of quartet that I had for the late night lineup, I mean, it was a fun time. I love playing with them. We kind of all clicked. I mean, we didn't really, it was almost a year ago, the date that we had our last show. And we had a good time playing. And you know, I just brought songs into them and we kind of did that. There wasn't a whole lot of, co-writing lyrics wise, but music wise, I kind of brought this just bare song in, and then we all kind of added what we liked. But yeah, this solo record, like, is a bit of a departure from what my normal sound would be. It's kind of more of like an 80s influence. I mean, you can kind of tell on this song, but a lot of the other stuff is very kind of 80s influence, like Bryan Adams and Phil Collins, and I've been listening to a lot of them, Traveling Wilburys and stuff like that.
Oh, okay. Well, because you actually released a couple songs previously in the beginning of December, was it 2021?
I did a...
Because Tokyo Sunrise came out.
Tokyo Sunrise. So that that was released around November or so, yeah, mm-hmm. I would say. That's kind of... I've kind of been in between. I've got songs that were kind of what I would consider what my older sound was, and this newer direction that I'm taking, and Tokyo Sunrise is kind of right in the middle, and this one's kind of right in the middle. It's like that, just two transition songs.
Sure.
Tokyo Sunrise, that'll be on the, that'll probably be on the record. That was written, with the late night lineup. So I'm kind of debating on whether or not to put it on, or just kind of, released it as like a solo single kind
of. Nah, put it on. Put it on.
Put it on.
Stop it.
Tokyo Sunrise. What can you do? Have you been thinking of me? Cause I've been thinking of you. Tokyo Sunrise. What can you say? Waiting all night for the break of day.
About Run All Night then, because that was another one that you released.
Yeah, Run All Night was that was just kind of released through like Facebook, and it's not a, I guess it's an official single. It's kind of weird because I never thought that I would have stuff on iTunes and Spotify and like all those streaming services, and then it kind of through a couple conversations, it kind of was like, oh yeah, it's a lot easier than you think if you have the, you know, the ability to mix down songs and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So like, it's kind of, I kind of feel like this, though I released those other songs, like this new one is kind of the start of the next, phase in my like career and stuff like that. Those songs will be involved in the CD release or the CD release, or the
showing your age, buddy.
Yeah, I know. but yeah, the Run All Night is kind of like my Bryan Adams tune. I was listening to a lot of stuff from him and like Waking Up the Neighborhood and stuff like that. So, which is actually a line in the song, Waking Up the Neighbors. I really kind of dig that, that kind of 80s kind of, I wouldn't, pop rock maybe.
Right.
If you know? So yeah, like I found too that one, like I had an idea and I was able to do that one song. Tokyo Sunrise was kind of written by the group, but Run All Night wasn't. And that was kind of the first song that I kind of did myself for this record, and I was like, oh, this is something that I can, you know, I can roll with basically, and I like the sound of it, and I just kind of released it just to kind of see what the reaction was, and it was pretty positive. It wasn't like an official release or anything. It'll probably be down the road.
We're waking up the neighbors, we're dancing in the street. It's a house arrest.
Okay, so I'm just one more question, buddy.
Mm-hmm.
This lucid dream or whatever it is, I had a dream. It was all a dream. COVID pandemic fun that we've been going through the last year and a half.
Right.
You've been in the house for a little while. You're trying to get things done. The stuff comes out. Your EP's out there. All of a sudden, everyone's been vaccinated. There are absolutely no more cases in our area, in Canada, around the world. And all of a sudden, you're allowed to do a show.
Right.
Where do you want to do the show, and who do you want to do it with?
Oh, geez. Let's see.
If you say opening up for Genesis on the next tour, I think you're reaching, but go ahead.
Yeah. No. Actually, I was just thinking about this. Well, I would say that I would like to open up at the rally for the Arkells. That would be a very cool kind of Hamilton kind of show.
Right.
Next year. I mean, who knows if that's going to happen. I don't know. We'll see if Max is listening or not. The single does. I had a tour kind of planned for Australia last year in the summer, and it kind of got derailed thanks to this whole situation. So maybe go down there. But if not, I'd really like to probably do another show at the Zoetic. I love that.
Theater. Right.
Yeah, it's such a cool place. And, you know, I think once everything kind of settles down to somewhat normalcy, there's going to be a lot of people that are going to want to go and see shows. So that's kind of where I'm debating on releasing this record is, you know, should I wait till kind of the end of summer to kind of see if fall is going to be the thing, or just release it now and have something else down the in the fall, but we'll see. I mean, I'm just hoping people get vaccinated and we can kind of do this thing. So, I would say the rally at Iverwind, and if that's not doable, then the Zoetic the night before to get people to come out. And or something along those lines, but yeah, I would say that. I mean, the scene has changed since the time that we first talked, you know, 10 or 12 years ago. So now, I mean, I think it's a better scene now than it was, and there's a lot more. There's so many talented groups and people out there, and I think Tommy and I would definitely do a show at the Zoetic if we could pull it off again. Hey, this is Mike Moss. I just wanted you to all know to check out my single, Take Me Away. It's on all streaming services, including TikTok, so you could even do a dance or whatever you do on that thing. Check it out. Mike Moss, M-A-A-S.
Staring at the street, wondering where we meet. It's so running oh so quickly, like a river it runs.
You're listening to C101.5 FM, The Hawk.
Saturday, the fun starts when Nancy meets Francie, Sunshine's mom.
Actually, we live a very quiet life here.
Oh, come on! And what do you call this?
Bad timing.
Then there's a fire at the fishes.
The house 2 doors down, it's on fire.
Could Victor be a firebug?
These children are under my supervision.
Go fish!
And Starsky and Hutch are set up by the mob. Right after Blansky's Beauties and Fish.
You're listening to Steel City Music.